Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. An important aspect of trauma recovery is understanding the role of our own biology in perpetuating threat and danger. In this episode, we're exploring how mold toxicity and Lyme disease interact with our nervous system, vagus nerve, all through these mast cells, and can actually make us more sensitive and vulnerable to further trauma responses. Covering mold, Lyme, and mast cells was important for me to share because it has been part of my own healing journey that held me back in my trauma recovery. And I would not want it to do the same for you. It was literally creating a biology of threat in my body that no amount of emotional work or processing alone could resolve. Joining me is physician pioneer in complex chronic illness, Dr. Neil Nathan, who sees one's biology also through the lens of the polyvagal theory. In fact, it was through Steve Porges, founder of the polyvagal theory, that he and I finally connected. So Dr. Neil Nathan is going to share the big three for keeping the body stuck in threat mode: limbic activation, vagal dysregulation, and mast cells. You will learn about the role of the vagus nerve in its role with inflammation caused by mold toxicity, and what to do about this. So if you are a practitioner working with those who want to change responses and reactions, or maybe you've been doing all the right things, but your body is returning to its default ways of being sensitive and reactive, well, then this might provide a missing piece at the biology level. Let's dive in. We've got Dr. Stephen Porges really bringing home this idea of how important safety is and the changes that happen even in that vagus nerve physiology around safety. And so when our physiology is seeing everything as danger, how does that have anything to do with mold? How does that have anything to do with Lyme? How do those things actually set our body up to go into that threat physiology?
Well, it turns out that the mold toxin is uniquely capable of inflaming the parts of the brain, the limbic and vagal system, that really help us with that. Often what happens is we take an individual, and I know Dr. Porges has almost certainly talked about this, throughout our lives, we are increasingly subjected to all kinds of stressors, varying degrees, sometimes horribly intense, sometimes mildly intense. But what matters is how our nervous system interprets that threat. And over time, throughout our lifetime, we become increasingly on edge. Hypervigilant is the word that I would use for it. We begin to scrutinize the stimuli that we're being exposed to, both internal and external. So mold toxicity is an internal stressor. Lyme disease is an internal stressor, because both of them trigger a profound inflammatory response that is, without any question to our body, a threat. I mean, that's how that ties in. And it just happens in our experience that those are two of the most common things that will set this to worsen, kind of like the straw that breaks the camel's back, that you could have been going along and coping okay or barely okay, and then you get exposed to mold, and then it becomes overwhelming. We lose containment, and our nervous system goes, oh, I'm not sure that anything is safe. So I'm going to protect you by letting you do nothing.
And I want to highlight what you just said. I'm going to protect you by doing nothing. I'm going to protect you by shutting down and conserving our energy. I'm going to protect you by shutting down. And yet that is not how we, at least our conscious mind, experience it. We experience it as, my body is betraying me. Like, why is my body so reactive? Why is my body not able to do what it used to do? And we don't realize that that's its protective mechanism.
Exactly. It's very frustrating for people to experience that, but it's not, your body's not trying to hurt you. It's never trying to hurt you. It's just trying to teach you or inform you of, hey, you have a problem here. I'm trying to protect you from it. My job is just to protect you. It's your job to figure out the cause of the problem.
So Neil, let's say that we have someone who's noticing that they are very reactive in life to everything right now, and they're wanting to go into therapy because they're assuming that this is their emotional responses to their environment. How would they even know that maybe I should look into mold? Maybe I should look into Lyme? What are some of the signs that would cue them into, this may actually be an internal stressor that has tipped that scale, and it may not just be all the stress in your external environment?
That's a very good question. And unfortunately, in the medical profession, a lot of professionals are not yet clued into the causation of anxiety, depression, OCD, bipolar, or exacerbations of all of those. So I'm afraid that, not afraid that, I know that tens of thousands of people who have that, which is treatable, are missed. So for those of you out there who are listening to this, if you have a new onset of anxiety or depression, which doesn't even make sense to you, I mean, I call it physical anxiety. And what I mean by that is there's a mental anxiety that you get when you have an IRS audit, or your in-laws are coming for the weekend, or something where there's an event coming up and, you know, I'm taking my board exams and you name it. Okay, so that's going to stress anybody to varying degrees. This is different. You're kind of wandering around through your day and all of a sudden you're freaked out. We're in a panic attack and it makes no sense. So that kind of anxiety or depression, which is really coming out of the blue, think of a more physical cause. And there are actually a lot of things that people need to be looking at. Again, as I mentioned, mold, Lyme. So some of the symptoms that you could look at for mold are not only the psychological symptoms, but mold and Lyme both cause cognitive issues, difficulty with focus, memory, concentration, especially word finding, where you're trying to think of a word, you know the word, and you just can't come up with it. Any type of cognitive impairment can be from that cause. Fatigue is almost universal. Some degree of, and sometimes that fatigue involves what we call post-exertional malaise, which is a type of fatigue in which you do a very light amount of exercise and you're wasted for 2 days. And you can get muscle pain for 2 days, way out of proportion to what you're doing. Certain types of pain are unique. So pains that are of electrical in nature, or ice pick, that can be mold. Pains that involve joints in various parts of the body that often move around, that could be mold, but it could also be Lyme. Other symptoms which are accompanying your anxiety and depression, shortness of breath, air hunger, asthma, headaches, muscle and joint pain, pelvic pain of any nature, every type of gastrointestinal system you can imagine, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, cramping, all of those things. So if you have more going on and it's also different for you, like I didn't have this, but now I do, think that there's something else bigger than that going on that you might want to look at.
And yet, what if they don't know and so they don't address it? And can this go on for years where a person can look back and be like, but this has been the way I've been for 5 years, for 10 years.
Absolutely. And the tragedy is, yes, that's true. And a very small number of physicians know about mold toxicity. A slightly larger amount know about Lyme disease, but many of them are under the misinformation that they're rare. But the CDC has now admitted that we are seeing 400,000 new cases of Lyme disease every year. In mold toxicity, it's estimated there might be up to 10 million people, Americans, that are currently struggling with mold toxicity that don't know it. So, yes, and this is tragic in that you can go ahead with treating with SSRIs or anti-anxiety medication for decades. And the problem is it's treatable. If you could think maybe something else is going on here, then that's also the case.
And as you're talking, you know, I'm reminded of there's different kinds of inflammation, and we can see even perhaps how the vagus nerve dysregulation can contribute to leaky gut. And then you have a sensitivity of your gut and you've got some gut inflammation. But it sounds like this inflammation caused by mold and caused by Lyme is a different kind of inflammation that will be producing these specific types of symptoms, especially around the brain and that concentration and the word finding. What's unique about this inflammation caused by mold and caused by Lyme?
Well, first of all, they're additive. so that if you have mast cell activation, the inflammation of that adds to the inflammation caused by mold or Lyme. The inflammation of the vagus adds to that as well. I've recently had a clarification of that in some recent papers that I've been reading, in which it's been clearer that the vagus nerve has branches that go to the thymus, which is a major immune gland, the galt, the lymphatic tissue that surrounds the gut, and the spleen. All of them are major immune organs. And if the vagus nerve is not functioning properly, if you have inflammation, you can't control it because those are out of whack. Those are not functioning properly. So literally, quieting the vagus will help to reduce inflammation directly. Now, to answer your question more specifically, both infections such as Lyme and toxins such as mold act the same way, even though one's an infection and one's a toxin. And what they're both doing is they're triggering the release of what we call pro-inflammatory cytokines. Now, many of your listeners are, the word cytokine is entering the vocabulary of the American public because of COVID. What we know is that COVID does is it causes cytokine storm, which means a flooding of the body with cytokines that did all the things that made us scared about when it first arrived on the map. So mold also triggers the release of cytokines. Lyme also triggers the release of cytokines. And the problem is the release of cytokines was intended to be a short stopgap to get the immune system to fight the toxin or the infection. An example would be a virus, so that you have the symptoms of a virus, many people don't understand, are not the virus itself, but the immune system's way of fighting the virus, which is the release of cytokines. We release cytokines, again, not to make us sick, but to fight what we think is a threat to our body. So with a normal viral infection, we release the cytokines, we bring the infection under control, we stop releasing the cytokines, and we go back to absolute normal. The problem with toxins like mold is if we don't get it out of the body, it keeps triggering the release of the cytokines. The problem with Lyme, it's a uniquely difficult infection for the body to contain so that it keeps releasing the cytokines. So it's the cytokines that is the connecting thread of this inflammatory response.
And what is that doing in the brain? Is that activating the microglia? Is there brain inflammation that is also part of every picture of mold and Lyme or only for some? What's happening with that, with those cytokines in the brain and around the microglia?
Well, everybody's different. So all human beings have a unique biochemistry and a unique genetics. So this inflammatory response will affect everybody somewhat differently. For some people, it's primarily in the brain. For some people, it's in the joints or the muscles. For some people, it's primarily in the gut. But for most people, this type of generalized inflammation is all of the above. So the microglia are the white blood cell type that the brain carries that fights inflammation. So yes, the microglia are involved in the brain as an inflammatory response. So in the simplest way of looking at it, yes, mold toxin is causing inflammation of the brain, especially in the vagal center, which includes not only the vagus nerve, as you know, but also the other cranial nerves that it is connected to. And it also affects the limbic system, so that both of those systems are basically getting inflamed. But here's the good news. It's just inflammation. It's not nerve damage, so that we can treat it effectively, even if it's gone on for years, by reversing it once we figure out the cause, and then we can figure out how to treat it properly.
Are there lasting effects if this goes unaddressed for years? Are there effects, consequences that do stick that cannot be reversed? Or have you seen that we can come in at any stage and be able to reverse all, if not most, of the effects of chronic mold and Lyme infections?
The answer to that, because this is fairly complicated, is mostly. So that mostly we can reverse these effects. And here comes the but. Here comes the however. One of the things that mold toxin and Lyme does is it affects the immune system and will trigger potentially almost any type of autoimmune illness possible. So when it's just starting to trigger it, it is reversible. Later on, it becomes less and less reversible so that some of those autoimmune conditions which get triggered can't always be reversed. The same is true with some neurological conditions which will trigger, because mold and Lyme will trigger Alzheimer-like picture. It will trigger MS. It will trigger Parkinson's disease. Again, if we catch it early, we can reverse it in most cases. The longer it goes on and doesn't get diagnosed, the more possible it is that it will become more permanent and harder to treat. And so that's why it's so important early on with any of the medical conditions that I've named to look for mold and Lyme as a possible cause, because if we reverse it quickly, great. If we come to it 5 years later and go, you know, I should have looked for this 5 years ago, we can't always reverse it. And that is in the category of tragedy.
So when we talk about the biology of trauma, we actually talk a lot about things like autoimmunity and things like fibromyalgia and chronic pain, some of these chronic health conditions, and how it is really this biology that's playing out that we can then come in and have leverage points to change. And it sounds like mold and Lyme should always be part of the panel of things that we look at when we have any of these diagnoses to see it as a contributing cause. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Very clearly, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We started this discussion talking about people who become sensitive, that's a lot of what I treat. Over the years, I became known for being interested in this, and physicians would send me their most sensitive patients. So we had to figure out, okay, what is doing that? So yes, while mold and Lyme are big players, once it triggers mast cell activation, vagal and limbic dysfunction, we often have to treat those three first, or our very sensitive patient won't be able to take the treatments they need for mold and Lyme. And I really want to make that point and emphasize it, that the physiological heart of sensitivity is in that realm. There's a lot of other things which we can talk about as well. But those three issues, I call the big three, and that all three of them intertwine with each other so intensely that the mast cells have a direct connection to the vagus nerve. The limbic system has a direct connection to the vagus. And all of these interconnect with each other. So, for example, if we have both vagal and limbic hypervigilance, and we treat the limbic system, but we don't treat the vagus, we're going to stay hypervigilant, and vice versa. The same is true of mast cells. So all three have to be looked at or treated in order for a sensitive patient to begin to get well. However, the good news is it is treatable. The vast majority of sensitive people that I treat can get well.
And I'm thinking of someone who maybe is needing to do a detox or thinks that they need to do a detox. They've got toxins, they've identified some other issue, or even doing emotional work. Either one of those, if you have these three at the heart of causing the sensitivity, it's not going to go as well because your system is literally so sensitive, you can't go through those other treatments.
You're under duress. The model that I like to use is Bob Navio's cell danger response model, in which Dr. Navio has put together a brilliant understanding of the biochemical changes that the body goes through when it is threatened. And the body perceives threat in our little organelles called mitochondria, the parts of our cells that generally make energy for us. But when the mitochondria perceive threat, and the main threats they perceive are in the category of stress, toxins, or infection, when they perceive that threat, they go into shutdown. So we're not going to move a patient who's already shut down unless we address what they know is the threat. And what I will often see are physicians identifying downstream effects of these conditions, like mitochondrial dysfunction and methylation and recurrent viral infections, and go, oh, okay, I've measured this and you have that. That's true. They do have that, but those are downstream. And I've had way too many patients treated for years to try to get those into balance, when what they really needed is to identify root cause. What is really threatening this being so that we can address it directly?
It's fascinating because I talk about the mitochondria being at the center of the trauma response that then shuts us down and is an internal, it's an internal trauma response. It's not something that happened to us. It's internally, we are assessing for threat, have determined that there is a threat, and our mitochondria shut that down. And how does that play into the mast cell activation? The mitochondria shutting down and the mast cell activation.
What I find is the mast cell activation is generally a later event once the persistent inflammation goes on. So with the mitochondria telling us that you're in danger, so literally it's danger, danger, and it won't shut up until we convince our mitochondria, this is not psychological, until we convince our mitochondria that we're safer. And the only way to do that is to get those threats neutralized. And you can't talk them out of it. The mitochondria are going, I don't know why you're doing this psych number on me, because there's still a toxin that's bothering me and there's still an infection that I'm really worried about. And you have to deal with it on the level that I'm dealing with it. And again, in medicine, we are just beginning to think along those lines. It's a kind of a new way of looking at chronic illness.
And I love that you say that, because I can literally imagine like my mitochondria hearing the thoughts that my brain has and be like, you don't have a clue. You obviously don't understand me. You don't know what life is like down here. So go ahead and tell yourself all the things that you want, but I'm dealing with the real life. And it actually creates a greater disconnect with our body when we're trying to tell ourselves that we're safe, and yet our mitochondria are not feeling safe. And I think that that even contributes more to the vagal dysregulation and that limbic activation.
Yeah, the psych term we use for that is not feeling validated. And this is happening on a cellular level. So if you will, I don't know if I've ever heard it talked about that way, but you know, off the top of our heads, we can do that. It's kind of like if any patient has an issue and someone tries to talk them out of it, and we get annoyed at them going, you're trying to tell me that I don't understand what is really wrong with me. Not only is that silly, it's counterproductive. Why don't you just honor what I know to be an issue for me? But as we know, in medicine, that doesn't always happen. People will get an idea in their head, or therapists or physicians will get an idea in their head and say, no, 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 you can't have fill in the blank. And what I get a lot is, I've never heard of this mold toxicity before, or my infectious disease specialists are telling me that Lyme disease is rare in our community. So something is wrong with you. You know, go see your therapist and don't bother me. And again, I deeply regret that that's happened way too often in medicine, because in some ways you have to be your own advocate. You have to go, I know there's something wrong with me. I am not crazy. This is not mental. I feel horrible, yes, but I know there's a cause and you haven't found it yet, so I'm going to have to look harder.
I was going to say, we have to become our own advocate and detective.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's kind of what I do for forever. I've been a medical detective trying to figure out, okay, you've had tons of testing. What have we missed? What is going on in your body? Always validating my patients describing that they feel horrible. There's no reason to ever doubt that.
So when I discovered that I was dealing with mold, one of the key articles that made a difference for me was Dr. Pizzorno's article that came out in 2016 showing that mold triggers more of an allergic response and more reactivity. And it's for me, like light bulbs went on, because it was, yes, like this is what is making things worse. And it's making my system just react to everything. And it seemed at that time that it's like, I couldn't even eat anything that I wasn't having some reaction to. And what a dilemma to be in, right? Where everything that you're trying to do to help yourself, your body is so sensitive to that it's reacting. So for people who are in that place where their body is so sensitive, we're needing to address those three components that you talked about: the limbic activation, the vagal dysregulation, the mast cell, that activation. How and where do you start to just kind of put a calm container around that piece?
It depends how sensitive a particular individual is, because some can do more things simultaneously than others. So with the most sensitive patients, they have to start by doing a combination of vagal and limbic retraining. Okay, that's the starting point. They will not be able often to take the supplements they need to take for mast cell activation until they do that first, for somewhere between 2 and 3 months, usually. Patients who are a little bit more constitutionally robust can sometimes start the mast cell supplements concurrently with that. Once those are in place, then they will be able to tolerate the binders and the antifungals we use for mold and the antibiotics that we use for Lyme disease and the co-infection. So from my perspective, that's the order that we would look at things.
And thank you for tuning into this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. If you would like to know more about mold toxicity and biology of trauma, I will have links for you in the show notes. Where we need to start is understanding what the body needs to safely open back up to life, coming out of a chronic freeze and threat mode. And so I have the essential sequence guide, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. It'll walk you through the three steps to safely opening up once someone or you has a chronic health symptom or condition. If you really want to put that into practice, you're going to want to take the foundational journey with me, a 6-week safely guided journey into your nervous system where we start to shift your biology using somatic and parts work. Now, shifting our biology from one of threat to safety mode also requires resourcing ourselves with the energy they need to feel safe. I will have the link to the mitochondrial support that I take to help my biology be resourced with energy. There's some related podcast episodes that you might want to check out as well. Episode 105 and 106 are ones that you will want to go check out. How anxiety and depression are related to mold and heavy metals, and more on mast cell activation in episode 106. I'm here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the healing journey. So please take a moment to subscribe, leave a review. Your feedback is how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help others find information that could change their life as well. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.